Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom he died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you.
We're going to find out what the Bible says concerning initial and final salvation. What the Bible teaches about initial and final salvation. So when Jesus said, "It is finished," on the cross, he was speaking of his own perfect sacrificial payment for the sins of mankind. So the fact that Jesus offered his perfect sacrifice on the cross in no way negates his instructions to those who would enter his eternal kingdom. The answer to this question is given to us in Scripture as to what God's initial and ongoing conditions are for men to appropriate the salvation he's given us in Christ. So initial salvation comes when we're blessed to repent and receive Christ. Then there is the need to endure to the end, to remain in Christ, to abide in Christ. In John 15, Jesus said that if you abide in him, you're going to bear good fruit. But if you don't remain or abide in him, you're going to be cast into the fire. In Matthew 25, Jesus speaks of the 10 virgins who were espoused to be married to the bridegroom, but only those that stayed faithful to him were admitted into the wedding chamber with the bridegroom. God made up the conditions to be in his eternal kingdom, not us. He made these up. He established them. If we're going to be with him eternally, we must meet these conditions. We live by faith, for by grace are you saved through faith, and without faith it is impossible to please God. This illustration that we're given in Scripture concerning the bridegroom and the bride should make it clear to us that God is just in requiring us to remain faithful to him all the way into heaven. This illustration we receive in Scripture of the bridegroom and the bride should make it clear that God is just and he's fair to require that we remain faithful to him all the way into eternal glory. We're going to look at Revelation 19, verse 7 through 10. It says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb," that's Jesus, "is come, and his wife hath made herself ready." That's how we know who the wife, the bride of Christ is that she's making herself ready to meet the bridegroom. She's staying clean. She's keeping her wedding garments without spot. Jesus said that he's coming back. Through the Apostle Paul, he said he's coming back for his church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Verse 8, Revelation 19, "And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white." Notice she was granted this. She had the help of the Lord in the great bridegroom in staying prepared for the marriage. Then it says, "For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints, and he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not, I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So we're talking about, especially verses 7 and 8 and 9, where the bride of Christ is seen as making herself ready. Are you ready to meet the Lord? So it's like a man and a woman who are engaged to be married. They each rightly and justly expect the other person not to be consorting with other people. Think of the words faithfulness, fidelity, and loyalty. Think of the powerful words, the three words, faithful, fidelity, loyalty. Faithful, fidelity, and loyalty. So we know who the true bride of Christ here is, told to us in Revelation 19, verse 7, that she's making herself ready. She is living in fervent expectancy of the return of Christ. The true bride of Christ is known in that she is living in fervent expectancy of the return of Christ. Her wedding gown is unspotted. It's pure and white. So Jesus said that he that endureth to the end shall be saved. After being initially saved, we must remain in relationship with Christ. Let's look at a passage in Colossians chapter 2, verse 3 through 10. All right, Colossians chapter 2, verses 3 through 10, the apostle writes to the believers at Colossae, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He's talking specifically about Jesus Christ, and he says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. Now, what comes to my mind there in this passage is the enticing lie of eternal security, which seeks to seduce people away from faithfulness and loyalty to Christ. So he warns them that lest any man should beguile you with enticing words, you are to cling to Jesus Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. So Paul was blessed and pleased to see that the believers at Colossae had order and steadfastness in the faith. And the only thing that interrupts and poisons and derails steadfastness in the faith is when people give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, thereby being beguiled with enticing words, such as the lascivious lie of eternal security, or once saved, always saved, which is a satanic heresy that began in the Garden of Eden, and it seduced the man and the woman, and they fell from God when they sinned because they bought the lie that there would be no consequence. But we know there was. They sinned against God, they disobeyed him, and were ushered out of his presence. The passage continues, verse 6 through 10. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Here we go. So as you have initially been saved, you are to continue to walk in Christ, rooted and built up in him, evermore deeply rooted and grounded in Christ. In other words, rooted and built up in him. Notice the word rooted. The deeper, the stronger the roots, the less potential of the tree being toppled. It's going to stand if the roots continue to go down deep into the soil of the kingdom of Christ. Amen. Into Christ. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. We are to be established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Beware, he warns again, beware, 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 lest any man, any mere man, spoil or ruin you through philosophy, that is, things that are of human reasoning and worldly thinking and not the scriptures. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments or the thinking of the world, and not after Christ. We learn of Christ. We have God's word, and that right there is the final divine authority of each of our lives as his children, the word of God. Let me go ahead and finish these last two verses. Verse 9 9 and 10, Colossians 2. For in him, that's in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. As long as you're in him, you're complete, which is the head of all principality and power. Amen. That's Colossians 2 verses 3 through 10. So we are complete in Christ who has saved us and in whom all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge dwells. And so we must beware of the beguilers, the deceivers in our midst seeking to draw us away from Christ. The deceivers in our midst seek to remove us from and seduce us away from our loyalty and fidelity to Christ, our faithfulness to him in whom he has saved us and in whom dwells all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, and in whom we are to continue to be more and more rooted and grounded and built up in him and not moved away from the faith, but established in our worship of God, looking for the soon return of Jesus Christ. We are to beware. That's a warning. Beware so that we're not deceived. You were saved by Jesus Christ. And we are to be continually ever more rooted and grounded in loving and serving Jesus. Amen. You are complete in Christ and only in Christ. Only Jesus died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and raised again for your justification. All of your satisfaction and wholeness is found in Christ. You are only complete in Christ. Christ is your all in all. You will find no satisfaction outside of Christ. When Mick Jagger sang, "I can't get no satisfaction," he was telling the truth because he was not in Christ and therefore he could have no satisfaction. So we're complete as we come in for a landing here. We're complete in Christ, and so we should be ever more seeking God, abiding in Christ, and more rooted and grounded in Jesus. As we're rooted and grounded in Christ, his sufficiency is going to help us overcome the lies of the devil that would deceive us and move us away from him. So as Christ's children, we are going to be ever more rooted and grounded in him and established in the faith. And we're going to bear the fruit that brings him glory. Somebody might be asking, how do I become more and more established in Christ? Great question. All right, we're going to go to Psalm chapter 1, the first three verses of the book of Psalms. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, speaking about the man of God and how he is established in the Lord ever more deeply. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, didn't we just read in Colossians 2 about being aware of the deceivers and the beguilers? Notice, blessed is the man that walketh not, does not walk in the counsel or the lies of the ungodly, nor standeth. Now, those ungodly people may have a suit and a tie and be acting like a pastor and still be lying to you. And on that note, remember that there are many, many, many warnings in the Bible because God loves us and wants us to be protected. All the warnings in the Bible are because God loves us and wants to protect us. Remember, God is our Father. We are his children, and he protects us by warning us. Just like when our children were little, we warned them about going near a busy street because we didn't want them to get hit by a car. Amen. We love them. Therefore, we warn them to protect them. Psalm 1, verse 1 through 3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Three things there that the man of God does. He does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He does not stand in the way of sinners. And he doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, he delights in what? The law of the word of the Lord. And in his law, in his word, doth he meditate day and night. As you stay in the word is going to stay in you. As you get in the word, the word's going to get into you. The word of God is not going to get into me unless I get into it. Amen. Verse 3 of Psalm 1, and he, that is the godly man, shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper, because he's not walking in lies, he's walking in the word. He's delighting in the law or the word of the Lord, and therefore he's deeply planted and fruitful, ever more fruitful in Christ in light of the soon return of Jesus. That's the man, that's the woman that's going to be established in Christ, made whole in Christ, and be ready when Christ soon returns. Amen. So as we come in for a close, remember that you're going to be kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Amen. That's 1 Peter 1:5. It says, who are, that is, those who have received the eternal inheritance of Christ, they're in Christ, they're undefiled, and they have this treasure of eternal glory reserved in heaven. It says in 1 Peter 1:5, they are kept, who are kept by the power of God through faith. Now, the power of God is from God. 1 Peter 1:5, who are kept by the power of God. Notice, we're kept by the power of God, but notice this, his part is his power. Through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time or in the final moment when Jesus returns to be with him forever. But notice, our part is through faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. The Bible says we live or we walk by faith and not by sight. So remember, saints, it doesn't matter where you are right now so much as it matters that you turn your heart fully to the Lord in repentance and put your faith in him completely. As we close, let me exhort you as your brother in Christ to live, to walk out the cross life. And what is the cross life? It is not struggling, it is surrendering. Amen? It is surrendering and declaring. Now, there's many verses on the cross or the crucified life. I'm just going to leave you with one of them right now, and I want to encourage you to pray this today and say, Lord, you must increase, but I must decrease. John 3, verse 30. Amen. As we close, I know that each and every person here loves Jesus, and I want to encourage you as your brother in Christ to tell him today when you get alone, just say, Jesus, I love you. Thank you for dying for my sins. You were buried and raised again from the dead to save me. I love you, Jesus, and I thank you, Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord. We thank you for these beautiful moments together in your word, Lord. We ask you to capture our hearts and let it be that we cry out, Lord, that you must increase, but we must decrease. Let us be truly crucified with Christ. Anoint us to the death and burial of self and bless this fellowship and food that the beloved saints are getting ready to partake of in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. That's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.